Welcome to Critters. This week, Authority and Flat Organizations, Chapter 1, Your Boss is Still Your Boss, Part 1. The questions this class answers are, how do flat organizations affect your relationship with your boss? When can you exercise authority? And what one factor gives you authority in the workplace? Personal development doesn't have to come with a high price tag. For just $35, the Effective Manager 2nd Edition offers the tools that can transform your managerial skills. This book was written specifically for managers, giving the practical, actionable advice Manager Tools is known for. It's an affordable investment in your personal growth. Elevate your management skills and fuel your personal development journey. Just go to our website, manager-tools.com, look for products in the navigation bar, and the Effective Manager in the dropdown. Organizational structures change over time, and it's a combination of the way work changes, the way economies change, the way fashions change, the way we relate to each other changes, the way technology changes, all sorts of things that go into the way organizations are structured and the way that changes. But the summary is organizational structures change over time. And the very earliest organizational structures were families. You know, a million years ago, not a million years ago, but in the 1700s, if your father was a cobbler, then you were a cobbler too. And, you know, your first job was picking up all those little pins that he dropped on the floor. And over time, you learned to be a cobbler. And there were a million. When I first started here at Manager Tools, the question was always about matrix organizations because that was the thing. And, you know, there's been changes over time. And over the last 100 years, it's been a kind of increasing flattening of organizations. The hierarchy has got smaller and smaller and smaller. And that means something for you and your relationships. And in this guidance, we want to tell you what that means.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Some of the organizational changes that happen over time are organic, kind of. Some of them are less organic. And I find that people often are frustrated with the structure while at the same time maybe not being willing to make changes that would make it easier for themselves. Like some managers or professionals struggle with, well, this is the structure and I can't do anything about it. Well, the fact that they change over time means that there are some pieces of autonomy that you have, and there's also some pieces you don't have. And we're hopeful that we can help with that distinction because it is important to know the limits of that and not get yourself in any trouble or make wrong moves or assumptions, because we do still have to operate in the system. And they're not as rigid, I think, as people imagine them to be.
Yeah, there's two ways, right? Sometimes people assume they have too much freedom and then they get themselves into trouble that way. And then sometimes they think they have too little freedom and they feel constrained, and yet they have more freedom than they think they do.
Yeah. And I think in both pieces of that, what's important to keep in mind is that organizations are human. Like, they're made up of humans. And so part of your how much freedom you do or don't have is about your relationships and the other humans.
Yes, definitely.
So remember, when you're frustrated with your organizational structure, it might be helpful to remember that because organizations are made of humans, they can be messy, they can be unclear, they can be frustrating, as humans can be. And there's some stuff you need to know about being careful and being smart and being professional within those structures and within those organizations. So we're here to help you with that, which means that we're going to talk today about the fact that no matter what, your boss is still your boss, that you should choose your time and place, and because it's human, and remember to create trust. Because again, this is a human mess. Mess was the word that came to mind. They're not always messy. Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. I think they are. And trust is the one thing. You know, it's amazing how much you can get away, not get away with, but how much grace you can have with someone who trusts you.
It's also, I think, if you're a younger professional, and if you're listening to this, Cass, and you're not yet a manager, you might then also be a person who's, you know, has less years in your career that would help you have learned this lesson. If you're younger in your career, you might think that the structures are more hard and fast than they are, and so not really have a good understanding of the fact that they are always evolving a little bit. And we want you to understand that there are still rules. Yes. There are still ways to operate in the system that will support you, support your team, and also help you be successful as you learn those lessons about things getting changed or shifting, et cetera. And that's why we start with the most important thing here, which is that no matter what, your boss is still your boss.
Yeah. So no matter what the structure of the organization is, and no matter what you think, what you've told, what you hear, what you read, the bottom line is, no matter, your boss is still your boss. And that person controls your addiction to food, shelter, and clothing. Flat structures call for distributed and shared authority, equality, collaboration, inclusivity, all those good words. And you might have assumed from the guidance in manager tools and career tools that we don't believe in any of those ideals. And you might have assumed that we believe in a hierarchical structure and that's the only way, and that progress towards flat structures is a mistake. And you would be wrong, because there's only one job title at Manager Tools, and that's associate. We all have the same job title, apart from Kate and Sarah, who run the company and have all the responsibility. So it's entirely flat here, and we believe in that. And your boss is still your boss. So there is still that relationship, no matter what. And we think the problem is that a lot of what is said about these ideals misses some of those fundamental assumptions that were made by the people that say those things. They had some assumptions in their heads that they don't say out loud. And so they say, oh yes, this is a place where we can share authority, where there is equality, where there's collaboration and inclusivity. And they don't say the limits of those things, which they have in their head. And people assume that that is carte blanche everywhere for every decision, for everything you do. And then the people that receive that think they can do anything all the time. And then they're disappointed when they can't, or they're disappointed or frustrated when they come up against a moment where their boss says no, or King's X is their decision, or says, you shouldn't have done that. And they say, but what? It's distributed authority. I have the authority to do that. And your boss says, no, you didn't. And there's a bunch of assumptions that were never stated. And that's kind of not fair.
Mm-hmm. Even if your organization is flat, there are likely to be times when your boss will still say, nope, act like the king, use the king's X, no matter the amount of authority you've been granted. Or, to your point, how much the company talks about empowerment, engagement, partnership. It's true that you could have empowerment, engagement, partnership, and also be told by your boss, we're not going to do that. There's places where the decisions that are made aren't necessarily made at every single level. There's places, what comes to mind is you work at a place where they make, I don't know, software chips, and you decide, oh, hey, we're going to make sandwiches. Your boss says no.
Yeah.
Now, that's a silly example. And it does highlight the fact that you can have empowerment with your team, within your team, and partnership and sharing of ideas, and still be told that's not the direction the organization has chosen. So you shouldn't be surprised when that moment comes. Don't be surprised when your boss says no, or says that's not what we're going to do. It may be okay. You might have a moment of being confused when your boss becomes your boss, as opposed to the guy you've been working alongside all week. And it will happen. That's part of their responsibility to say, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is the direction we're going to go. Things like that. So just don't be surprised. And okay, be confused, but be confused privately.
Yes. Oh, don't be confused because we've just explained it to you. This is why it happens.
Yeah. You've heard it. And maybe you could be less surprised too, since we've told you about it. Because the fact that it does happen is honestly part of the reason that at Manager Tools, we struggle when we say, don't give feedback to your boss. We don't struggle internally. We struggle with people pushing back on that idea. People say, why can't I give feedback to my boss?
Or my organization says we should give feedback to our bosses, or we should tell our bosses what we think. Yes, but they're not talking about the kind of feedback that we mean.
Right. And it is true. Organizations do not want to end up in a position where there's a boss suggests something and there's a problem with it and nobody says, oh, hey, there's this concern we should have, or actually be aware of this, or right. And these kind of hidden pitfalls where people don't speak up because they're afraid of retaliation. And then we end up in a bad situation. That's the kind of stuff that causes organizations to say, you should be able to give your boss feedback. What we mean, and I say this all the time, what we specifically mean is, don't use the words, can I give you some feedback to your boss? Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying. What we're saying is, you should be careful based on a person's professional relationship to you about how you convey to them your thoughts, ideas, questions, concerns. That's what we're saying. With some people, you could be more casual. With some people, you'd be less casual. It's really simply an acknowledgement of the fact that because your boss has role power over you, it is a good idea to use different words, to use other avenues, other ways of sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your concerns, all those things. Because people tell us, oh, my boss says they're open to feedback. Mm-hmm. You know, we work together. My boss says that he wants to hear my thoughts. And we're not suggesting that that's not true. We're saying it's not the same thing as feedback. Giving an idea about how to approach a product or a sale and telling your boss that idea is really different than telling your boss that you think his way of talking to someone is wrong. That those are two different things. And I tend to get a lot of pushback in this same conversation from managers. Managers say, well, I'm open to feedback. Managers say that, and what they mean is, I want to have, you know, I want people to tell me their thoughts, their ideas, their concerns. It doesn't mean that we're not suggesting, like, that people share information. We're suggesting that you do it with awareness and with kindness and with thoughts, like, not thoughts of being respectful and fair and still being professional. You don't just get to roll around telling people you're wrong.
Yeah. And with no expectation that that will be taken as something that they're going to do, right? There's something about when you give feedback with a capital F, that there's an expectation. If a manager gives a direct feedback, like when you show up late to meetings, we all have to backtrack and go over the same stuff twice. That is essentially saying, you will be on time. I want you to be on time to meetings in the future. Mm-hmm. If a direct says to a boss, hey, I think we should always start our meetings with an agenda, the direct is almost saying, I have an expectation that after I've told you this, you will always start meetings with an agenda. The manager doesn't hear that. The manager is hearing, you're making a suggestion and I'm going to do it or not do it. But the direct is having this, like, I've given you some feedback and I'm expecting you to follow it. And that's not how the manager is hearing it. And that's the disconnect between the feedback conversation. The direct is giving feedback and expecting it to be followed. The manager is hearing an idea and giving it a 50-50 as to whether or not they think they'll do it.
Yeah. And there's an imbalance of power there, which is part of why this expectation of a person to follow through is different in that dynamic. It's heavier on the direct, the expectation to follow through, than it is on the manager, because your boss probably writes your performance review. They decide how much pay you get. They're your boss. And okay, that means that your boss has final say if you care about your performance review and how much pay you get. Your performance review and your pay is essentially the last word in every conversation, every discussion, every argument, if you care about those things.
Mm-hmm. Which most people do.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know, I think people care. And if you do care, then if your boss expresses an expectation through feedback, it's unlikely that your performance review is going to be great if those expectations aren't met.
Whereas the other way around, if you have a suggestion for your boss and he doesn't meet them, nothing happens to his pay.
Yeah, I mean, role power means that there, when a boss has expectations, if they're not met, it has implications for the person who did not meet them.
If that person, if she can decide that you are fired, she is your boss. I was doing some research yesterday, and I was researching things that people search for on Google. And one of the things that people search for is, can my boss decide that I'm fired? Which I would have thought was the most obvious question. The answer is yes. Usually your boss can decide that you're fired.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ultimate authority in any organization, right? And usually, sometimes they have to go talk to their boss. They have to talk to HR. There's rules and regulations around who can be fired and when and so on in different countries and in different jurisdictions. But essentially, yes, your boss can decide that you've been fired. And that's the ultimate authority.
Yeah. It could take some time, to your point.
Yeah.
And if your boss decides and has avenues through which to get that done, yeah, then they're your boss.
No matter how much the company talks about, you know, authority and equality and collaboration and inclusivity, your boss can still fire you. You can't fire them, but they can fire you. It is the most anticipated conference in the whole of the Managed Tours year. The M conference is coming up in Chicago in August. And this is our executive development conference where executives from the Manager Tools community come and speak. You can hear from top leaders in diverse industries, including banking and software, aerospace, consulting, markets, finance, HR, and they share their thoughts on leadership and managing and all sorts of topics. It's so much fun. And you can network with the people who are on the cutting edge, who really know their topic deeply as we know management. And you can talk about all of the newest topics and meet the right people. If you'd like to know more, go to manager-tools.com, click on training in the navigation bar, and look for the M conference.
Okay, so that's one of the ways that you could determine who is your boss. Mm-hmm. If you're in a flat organization and there's some question of who is your boss.
Yeah. Or whether or not they're your boss or some kind of exalted, like super peer, as it were, you know?
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. So if they can fire you, that's one indicator. If you would introduce this person as your boss to someone in your personal life, then hey, they're your boss. That's always an interesting one. Like, oh, this person is James. They're also my boss, right? If that's an important detail that you would share, it's like at the barbecue, right? We always use the analogy of the barbecue.
Yeah. So if you were having a backyard barbecue and you introduce your boss to your neighbor.
You invite your boss.
Yeah. You invite your boss first. And then you say to your neighbor, hey, this is John. He hiked the Appalachian Trail last year. I know you've been wanting to do that. I thought you'd have something in common. And then you walk away to flip burgers. And later on, your neighbor comes back to you and says, oh my gosh, if you'd have told me that was your boss, I would have not said X, Y, Z about your company or X, Y, Z about your work or whatever. If you can imagine that conversation happening, then your boss is your boss. He's not some person on your team that's first among equals. He is your boss because there's a distinction, there's a difference between your boss and everyone else.
Yeah. Okay. So exactly. That's a small example proving that a boss can't ever be truly part of the team. We talk about that too. I talk about that when we talk about role power versus relationship power, the difference between, you know, that characterization of being the boss and being part of the team. And a lot of people, there might be people listening who are thinking, it's pretty clear who my boss is. Not everyone has necessarily that same thing in their head. And to some, and we should mention, in some cases, that's partially because the boss has verbalized, has said a lot of things, trying to bring themselves into the level, into the level of the team.
Right.
There are some bosses who are like, no, dude, we're just friends. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so it might not necessarily be that it's because your organization's super flat. It might also be that you have a boss who has tried to create this like collegial,
mm-hmm.
you know, team feeling. And it's funny because there are probably people who are listening who are thinking, it's pretty clear who my boss is. I know exactly who my boss is. Mm-hmm. So they're wondering, why are we having this conversation? Yes, exactly. It's because for some people, it is not very well spelled out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not clear, we want to give you some ways to figure it out, essentially. Another analogy that we sometimes discuss is the scorpion and the frog. The scorpion rides on the frog's back, mm-hmm. right?
In the old story.
Yeah, the frog is supposed to take the scorpion across the water, and the scorpion stings the frog, halfway through. And
the frog says, you promised not to sting me. And the scorpion says, I'm a scorpion, I sting everything.
Yeah. And essentially, the scorpion will always be the scorpion, regardless of whether or not it's trying not to sting the frog. Your boss will always be the boss, no matter how much they try to make themselves feel part of the team or espouse the idea or verbalize the idea that they're not the boss. Your boss will be the boss. And perhaps that role power or that role is called upon rarely, and they're still the boss. So, yeah. When the frog says no at the beginning, right? He says,
I'm not going to trust you. And the scorpion convinces him that he could be trusted. And eventually the frog gives in, and then the scorpion stings him anyway.
Right. And what's funny is, I also feel that analogy is useful because a lot of people have an instinct
mm-hmm.
about their boss. And if you have an instinct that a person is your manager or is your boss, that they could fire you, that there's some role power there, that it's not, you know, equals, it's not a first among equals kind of situation, then you might honor that.
Mm-hmm.
You might just take a lesson and not be the frog, because the frog, they drown. They both drown.
Yes.
These old stories are quite intense.
They are.
I was reminded recently that the Little Mermaid
mm-hmm.
is based on the Disney version, is based on the Hans Christian Andersen version loosely. And I say loosely because the Hans Christian Andersen version is quite terrifying, sad.
Yeah.
Mean, scary.
All those stories are to protect children. You know, they're right. Like, don't go into the forest on your own because bad things happen.
We call them fairy tales. I would suggest that that's a very sweet way of saying there's another word, and it doesn't come to mind about that describes that kind of stuff, where it's like, this is meant to teach you a lesson. I know parables and all that kind of stuff are as well. All that being said, your boss is still your boss. The scorpion always stings people and frogs and other creatures. So your boss is still your boss. And you can't get out of that unless you want to go work somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, no matter what's written on the HR website, no matter what's written on the job page of your company website, no matter what's said in the onboarding literature, no matter what your boss says about wanting to be a team and wanting to hear all of your ideas and wanting to have your input and wanting everybody to feel empowered and wanting engagement and all of those things, that all are good things. And no point are we saying that any of those things are bad things. We agree, all of those things are good things, but what they miss out is reminding you that your boss is still your boss. And at some points, your boss will act like your boss. And we don't want you to be surprised by those moments and think that it's some personal vendetta because all of that stuff you were promised was taken away from you, or you did something egregiously terrible that suddenly you're not in this wonderful world of flowers and rainbows. You didn't. Your boss had that power all along, and every now and again, for some bosses more often than other times, but every now and again, they exercise it. And it's right for them to do so. And we don't want you to be confused by it, given the propensity, given the volume of information that is out there right now on the other side of this kind of
discussion.
Seesaw was what I was thinking. Okay, so we'll leave you with that to think about this week, and we'll come back next week with the two things that you can do in order to exercise all of the good parts of this, I was going to say trend, but all of the good parts of this movement towards hearing and using people's whole selves at work. We'll be back next week with part two.